Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. God bless you. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff and her husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. I believe he's on air. Honey, are you on air?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yes. And again, it was a wonderful, glorious Saturday in the month of May, and it's May 9th, and this is Mother's Day weekend. Tomorrow will be Mother's Day. And so for all you mothers out there, I just want to wish you a blessed Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day in advance.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day in advance. And that, you know, your kids would, you know, shower out the love of the Lord through them, and even if they have to pray for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I just wanted to give you this air time here on Blog Talk Radio. Bless the friends and folks of Blog Talk Radio and all my friends and family on Facebook as well as YouTube. And so, Lord, just come into this time, come into this airspace, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this airspace and throughout the internet, and just be our Lord, be our God, and we ask that you would bless the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, and that you would truly direct the course of this show. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Jeff, what's
yes.
the first thing the Lord is showing you we should talk about today? I mean, I have an idea, but, you know, what do you want to talk about? Are you going to put it on me? Okay. All right. He likes when I start. But I always try to give him the benefit of the doubt. I always like to, you know, see if, you know, if he wants to lead. It's only natural in a marriage, right? Anyways,
yes.
I want to let you know, we are on opposite ends of the house. If we stayed in the same room, we'll be echoing all over the place. So I'm in the studio, and he's in the opposite end of the house on another extension. But, you know, for the most part, I do miss his presence in the studio. But we will just trust that the Lord is going to move, and he's going to be glorified as we proclaim the message for today. Well, let's see. When I was in prayer today, earlier today, the Lord was ministering to me about and the new man. And he was showing me how, and I was even asking him, Lord, why is it when I'm, because I do a lot of observing, I'm a watcher, and I am an intercessor. And I didn't even know that I was that until I was, in the process of taking a class through the King Clement School of the Prophets. And basically what King Clement does is he takes everyday experiences of people who have the gift in the prophetic or who function primarily in that gift, and it doesn't have to be 100%, but it's just like, that's just like maybe a dominant gift. And he puts definition to it. And it seems to be based on common experience of people who are seers or who function in the prophetic. Hold on for a second. I had to clear my throat. Anyways, one of the things that he was saying is that there are seers. There are different kinds, different ways of seeing, all right? And we really got into how people who have the gift of seeing in the prophetic primarily do observation. They sit back and they can observe what's going on, right? Right, Jeff, you want to expound more on that before I get into
Well, the situation of, like, most common example is you're a young single man and you fall head and heel over a girl, but then you let it go to the next level of lust. What started out as a good thing to bring you together became corrupted by your desire, your lustful desire for sex. So
sometimes they will do it one-on-one or collectively, like looking in the group, you know, and then maybe going into different environments and to see if there's a common thread of, a common thread in different groups, okay? Basically, that's what the Lord shows me and how he works with me. And so the experience I'm about ready to share with you is, Jeff, feel free to interject if there's something.
Okay.
Okay. I'm in and out of different environments because I'm a bus driver. So I go to different town environments in New England and also after hours, you know, different social environments, some church, some just the environment of just in a different environment. And, you know, there's always people in different environments function in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I did notice that I sort of, like within the month, you know, I was, you know, my observer was observing, you know, in the back of my mind, okay, the screen of my mind, the young people, you know, because the Lord has put the this generation on my heart to pray for them, to pray that the Lord would bring them into the destiny as a cultural group to make a difference. I want to say children, because I mean, I'm almost 50, young people that have lost their luster for life and the countenance because of choices that they made, you know, whether they didn't have the proper role models or whether they had parents that were into drugs. And so it just gets, it becomes a cycle. Not only drugs, but, you know, people that are involved in different occultic practices. I noticed that when people that are self-proclaiming witches or, you know, they get into certain parts of the New Age movement, which is almost the same as witchcraft, or other dark arts, they tend to have a real, real dark countenance and they look like they're dead, you know, and things like that. And so, you know, one time the Lord just had me observe without making a judgment, okay, about what he, that's my counselor, Clark, Rose, my secretary. Anyways, so I was observing without judging within the last 30 days about, you know, the condition, you know, what, you know, why, and I even brought it to prayer. I'm like, Lord, why do the young people all of a sudden look like the older people, like of the past? When I was a lot younger, people in the 60s or 70s were walking around with canes. They were walking around, with arthritis, because of their age, okay? And now it's a flip-flop. It's like the older people, all right, especially the ones in the glory, look, you know, they have a spring in their step. And I'm sure that there are also young people that are in the glory that have a spring in their step. But they cause a remnant, you know, of, you know, people between 20 and 40. When they get into the drugs, it's like their bodies react and they're like 90 back. You know, they walk around like they're 90 years old, like, they don't have, like, their life force is leaving them. I mean, Jeff, what do you have to say to that? I mean, before we talk more about what the Lord's doing.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. I really see a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I fully understand it,
mm-hmm.
But the younger people are looking much older than they actually are.
They're looking more, some of them are in their 20s and they look older. Especially when they are caught up in the things of the world, looking older than a lot of the 40, 50-year-olds, you know? And it's just really,
well,
my people who are called, you know, my people, some of them are backslidden, some of them may not be backslidden, they may need to come to the Lord. that, you know, that he's the God that will heal, deliver, and set free for Jesus. You know, and to pray that they would receive salvation. That, you know, and this is the hour that the Lord is going after the people that are in this, these kinds of pits, you know, that you know, are on their, and I don't want to say on their way to hell, but, you know, if they don't receive the Lord and not enough people are praying, and that's, they could end up in hell knowingly or unknowingly, all right? But this is the hour the Lord is saying that, you know, he wants to shower his glory upon, you know, a people to call his own, and he's creating new people in this hour. And I know that within the last 20 or 30 years, and different, maybe even the last 40 or 50 years, there's been, you know, countless revivals that did just that. But, you know, I was wondering, it didn't feel, it didn't look like, or it didn't, the comments were so strange that I was wondering, is this Christian? I mean, you know, do these people need to be set free, or am I misreading the intention of this particular comment? And the Lord showed me that there are many, many people, many believers that have a wonderful heart, and that because they have been so enculturated in the culture, came the thought processes of that particular culture in that particular geographic region, wherever that region is, and people, you know, are calling it Christian, or they're just not questioning it because everybody else is thinking this way and acting this way and feeling this way, whatever this way is. So the Lord has been showing me the impact of, you know, the world imploding on culture, and as Christians, you know, as beliefs develop, and you know, and of course that process is not going to be completed until Jesus comes, but while we're here on this earth, we can certainly give it the old college try, and try, and not strive now, but put an effort out there to you know, always petition the Holy Spirit for assistance. You know, he's called the Comforter, and he's the one that, and he's our helper. So, you know, I just want to just read something confirming this. It was something that the Lord had given us when Jeff and I, and I think our friend Joe Duffney, who's our guitarist, who you've seen actually on Faith Talks Live Prayer on Blog TV, in the background, sometimes he'll say something, sometimes he'll just play. But he has a wonderful gift of worshiping with the guitar. We had all gone up to Toronto to the Spanish Catch the Fire in Fuego, right, Jeff?
I think so.
Yeah, you think so. You know so. You've been. And
the word means the fire of God in Spanish.
Iran, that's right. That's right. And this is right around May, okay, this month. But in 2004, it was actually the eve before we left, decided to move in the prophetic Father Tom D. Lorenzo's, where I was a drummer there. And then he just disappeared as the Lord was showing us that as we were. So we always ask the Lord, how do you want us to travel? And how do you want us to pray when we're traveling? He was showing us that, you know, he wants us to drive, and he wants us to, you know, we put Terry McCollum in, and at that time, the Sound of Heaven just came out, and we were fixated on one particular song, and that was what, Jeff? The Lord gave us a directive in prayer, and then he just moved heaven and earth, literally, to prove a point there. Now, Jeff, as I read this, you know, I know that the Lord's going to interject into your memory of, he's going to bring you back to that point where we were, and he's going to be showing you some things. So feel free to, interrupt me and just say, look, I have something that I need to share in lieu of this, these prophetic words. And it's so funny. Now the body of Christ is going through that right now. And has a lot to do with a new people, forming a new people. And, you know, even if it doesn't matter what age you are, the Lord is saying that when His glory comes, and it's coming, it's not in the fall, in this hour, that He said the new people, the old people are going to become new people, okay? And we're just going to become new. But those who decide to stay in the world, no matter what age you are, okay, are going to be like old people. And it was so funny. I'm like, well, Lord, give me the characteristics. This is before. I'm going to just stay on this before I read this. I asked the Lord, give me the for the characteristics of old people, you know, the old people. I'm not talking about age now, okay? I'm not talking about physical age, okay? But the old nature, the old man nature without His Holy Spirit, okay? And I began to see, like, I began to hear weeping and gnashing of teeth. I began to see it in people. I began, you know, and the ones that, you know, really need the Lord, and those who, you know, need that transformation as a Christian, they're angrier. They have angry spirits. Every word is negative, okay, and they have nothing good to say about anybody. And they're always complaining and whining about everything and really not having a good word to say about anybody. Always looks at life, you know, at the glass half empty instead of half full. And also is pretty down on themselves. And then you look at the countenance, you know, there's always something wrong. And the countenance is not shiny. And they're not lighthearted. So, you know, and some, you know, and of course the world, Jeff, do you have anything to say to that?
Yes, I do. The Old Testament, Aaron and Miriam, the scripture says he got inflamed with anger. I mean, because the people were disrespecting his order, not because it was Miriam and Moses and Aaron. It was because God had appointed those three people to lead the people. And he, you know, got very upset with criticism of his leadership choices. Mm-hmm. And I pray for mercy on anybody and everybody who is being critical of any leadership, whether it's church leadership, governmental leadership, because according to the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, God is sovereign over all the kings of the earth. Therefore, don't focus on what the kings of the earth are doing. Focus on what God can do through them and intercede for them, because Daniel spent his life praying and living out how God wanted him to live. And then when the 70 years expired for the judgment against Israel, the Holy Spirit started moving him to pray and fast to understand more.
Right.
And then God gave him many answers about many generations to come in the future, which up until the time of Christ and even probably towards the end of time. Mm-hmm. But God's arm is not too short to save us from any wrongdoing of any person, including leadership.
Exactly. You know, who are we to all of a sudden become a judge? And then, you know, I notice that when people become judges, and you know, and sometimes when I get a little ornery, you know, in my own opinion, I can get judgmental, and then I don't feel good in my heart about it, and I can feel it because most of the time I'm living with a light heart. But you can feel it if you're living with a light heart most of the time. You can feel when it, you know, all of a sudden it gets a little judgmental, and you know when you start going off base. But there are, you know, times when people live negative with a negative mindset, and they start, you know, and because they're used to it all the time, when, you know, they're around a lighthearted person, they think there's something wrong with the lighthearted person, you know, the one, that, you know, and it's just so, it's just such a disparity. You know, I wanted to get back to the, you know, to, you know, what the Lord calls us to do. You know, we
talk about issues that go, you know.
So if we can't talk to our husbands, who are finite beings on this earth but made in God's image, okay, we need to turn and talk to the Lord. And the Lord will be quick to give us answers and be quick to move in hearts, because He's the Lord of hearts. And so we don't have to persist in our many words. And usually as we speak more words, we feel like we're not heard. And then what happens is that we, you know, the volume gets turned up and then the attitudes start coming in there. And next thing you know, we have said many words, and we've said it not in the spirit of love, but we've said it in the spirit of this world. So we got to learn how to talk in the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when we use our words. And like St. Francis said, what did St. Francis say about the words, Jeff? When he sent out that everybody to...
he said...
Well, he sent them out two by two, just like Jesus sent out the disciples, right? And St. Francis said, when you go into the town,
preach the gospel and use words when necessary.
Yeah, preach the gospel and use words when necessary. So I think that there's a lot of wisdom in that, you know, and I believe that's one of the good successes of why... The good reasons, I should say, why social networking on the internet is very, very successful. I mean, we could use words at our fingertips. There's a lot of wordsmiths out there, you know, a lot of people that are very, very talented with, you know, using the right words to describe what's on God's heart, and also, you know, a picture is 1,000 words. So they, a lot of times, use video to, you know, disclose what's in their heart, what God put in their heart. And then on YouTube, there's lots of videos that actually match up with, you know, some of the things that the Lord wants to emphasize. Some of it's not, you know, your typical Christian, but it still has the same message. And, of course, there are a lot of talented Christian videographers out there that know how to put the words with the video message. And so it's just something that the Lord's moving in into. You know, he's really tapping into our creativity in this hour, because there's many things he wants to say, and the picture can speak a good hold on the attitudes, and really pray that into their spirit so they can actually do and become what, you know, the attitudes are all about. So you know, that's what the Lord showed me about the old nature. And the new man nature is very simple. I mean, when you know you're walking in that, your heart is light. You have, you know, Jeff, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I mean, I know what they are, but I want to pull you into this conversation. Oh, the fruit. You start walking in. The fruit.
The fruit of the Holy Spirit, of peace, joy, love, long-suffering,
faith, hope, instilling hope in people, understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understand.
You can find these in Galatians chapter 5, but at the end of the chapter.
Yes. Do you have the scriptures?
There's a comparison between fruits and flesh.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I mean, we always have to go to the scriptures because it's outlined in the scriptures. And the Lord, that's why the Lord chose disciples and apostles to put it in, to put what, you know, he's teaching from heaven into the scriptures. Jeff, is it Galatians 5? I have the scriptures right here. Life,
yeah.
In the Spirit. Yeah.
Starts at 16, I believe.
Yeah, life in the Spirit. Yeah, I see it right here. Life and Spirit. I'm going to read my version right now.
Okay.
So this is what, you know, this is how you can tell that you are walking in the new man nature, okay? It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature, which is the old man nature, okay, which produces you know, a hard heart, and you know that which produces the old man nature. All right. So the acts of the simple nature, like I mentioned earlier, I didn't really get into detail. I live like this. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is, okay, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of a new formed nature, a new man, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature, and this is by the working of the Holy Spirit, the helping of the Holy Spirit. And so those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires, since we live by the Spirit, okay? And this is a choice daily, but when you're into glory, it becomes easier. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And, you know, I know when your guard is down, when you don't get enough sleep, and, you know, the old man nature isn't completely crucified, that can happen a lot, you know. So we need to really, we need to watch ourselves. As watchers, we need to watch ourselves, okay, and we need to watch what's around us. And I think, you know, this is a good way to keep ourselves accountable to the Holy Spirit. And we can also use each other as checkpoints, you know, how am I, like, loving, okay? And I think that, you know, that as days go on, when this happens, you know, there are people that want disciples to disciple them with Scripture, but then they say in the mechanical part of that. But I really believe that, you know, in the restoration process, in the time in which we live right now, okay, that I think the Lord's calling us to have restoration, accountability, you know, accountability partners that would help us with restoration. That will help us in the restoration process. Just because we receive Jesus and made the Lord and Savior and, you know, said the sinner's prayer and receive the Holy Spirit doesn't mean, you know, it hasn't stopped. Day in and day out, we've got to do our laundry. You know, we have to clean up. We get up and we have to check our hearts. We go through life. And sometimes, you know, some of the toxins, you know, can come into our system, and the spiritual toxins have to be purified. And this is a good way to do it, all right? Or else it's good, you know, people are going to be sandpaper and, you know, and part of a surface. But, you know, it depends on how rough and what the grade and quality is. It can actually take up a whole lot of other things that, you know, are probably good for you. But so, you know, what you want to do, you know, is you want to be more gentle with yourself and in love, encourage each other in the body of Christ, you know, to help each other become, you know, accountability to the law of love, you know, to the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we can attain these, you know, the fruits, you know, and walk in the fruits in a greater way. But we can't do it through criticize it. We got to do it in the spirit of love and acceptance and understand what, you know, you know what the weaknesses of each other are, and at the same time, you know, pray for creative ways to bring out the fruit of the Holy Spirit in an individual and kind of, like, you know, maybe have occasional meetings with each other wherever they are. Could be a group of people, could be two or three. But, you know, but then you can use that time to call upon the Lord. I think that's a wonderful ministry, to be honest with you. Don't you think so, Jeff?
I do.
Jeff, we do this all the time, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do. I mean, it's fun, too. It's like we don't, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit comes on in there, and he's our comforter and counselor, and we just work on it with each other, you know. And we'll talk more about the one of the ministries that has helped us.
In the flesh and the spirit.
Okay.
And 16 and 17, Paul is saying, I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. Mm-hmm. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. 18, but if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into the flesh list, and then it goes into the fruit list. And
what do you have to say about that? You know, you said that
it's war. He's describing a conflict.
Right.
And somewhere else in either Romans, after he talks, gives a detailed exhortation about sin, he said, who can rescue me from this body of sin, meaning the sin nature that's inside of him? And then he goes on to proclaim clemency through Jesus. Therefore, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is finding yourself in Christ, keeping yourself in Christ, and being transformed through Christ into his reflection. And the last three verses of this chapter say this: now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires.
Mm-hmm.
If we live in the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit, and let us not be conceited, provoking one another, and envious of one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all wrongful desire starts. Envy,
malice,
and conceit.
Yeah, mocking. So we really have to be careful. Even when we're talking about the politicians, I mean, we shouldn't be talking about them. We should be praying about them, you know, and God's people, you know, and God's people. If we perceive that they're struggling, we shouldn't be roasting like the world. I mean, when that happens, there's just no difference between the world and Christians. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't bring about conversion either.
No, it brings about dispersion, not conversion. Well, we have about 28 minutes left in the broadcast, and I just want to read the word the Lord had given us, May 28, 2004, 4 p.m., in the first day of the three-day revelation before we went up to Fuego. Okay? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. It says right here, I am laying down a firm foundation in the Spirit through increase in praise and worship in my heart and the greater things of my kingdom for your survival into the costly life matters that lie ahead. Be steadfast in your faith. Hold on to my love. I will never fail you nor forsake you, for I am faithful and true. I will send you my glory fire in the coming days ahead for the work that I have called you to do in this final hour. For my glory will be a shield that surrounds you. My glory fire will be a shield that protects you against the wickedness and the snares of the devil in this world as you proceed to work for the institution of my kingdom upon the earth. As the times of darkness increase, this will be the time in which my glory fire will be released and revealed in astronomical proportions. Okay, so that was in May. That was May 28, 2004, at 4:45 p.m. Now, that has come over many hearts of the body of Christ, the people of God. We as a body will begin to see things more clearly in the coming days ahead regarding God's plan and purposes for America and the nations throughout the earth. Okay. As we approach the 403 QEW and looked up to the sun set in sky, to much of our surprise, my husband Jeff and I saw upon the horizon under the open heaven a red sun embedded in a pinkish/reddish mist. We had been worshiping in the Spirit for 8 hours to Terry McCollum's song, Sound of Heaven. It was so beautiful to the natural eye. I encouraged my husband to take a picture with our digital camera. After the first picture, as I was driving down the QEW and still observing the sunset in the distant horizon, less than a millisecond of time had gone by, and without blinking my eyes, the sun was no more. It disappeared as quick as it appeared. Both my husband and myself were searching diligently in the sky to find the sunset again at another location in the evening sky while we were driving, and we could not. We had discerned that this was a very significant prophetic event. The questions that were left unanswered, that only God alone could answer, was, where did the sunset go? What does God want us to know concerning the supernatural phenomena and the strangeness of this event? Okay? All right. All right. So when we get the TACF at 10 p.m. in the morning, at night, there was an invitation. And there was an auditory, I had an auditory revelation. The invitation was given to me individually by the Lord to summon the people of God to come to the table and eat. And I will come to you and live among you, and you shall live and never die. Again, the Lord said audibly, okay, when we got to TACF that evening, come to the table and eat. I will come to you and live among you, and you she was a hostess, and I think she still is a hostess at TACF, okay? Let's see. Okay. Well, we went to her house, okay? Sister, we went to the home of the prophetess, that's how, what she calls herself. She was from Etobicoke, the Rexdale region of Toronto. She confirmed to us that the red sun on the horizon is a sun-rising sun, which usually means a judgment of something that is rising on the horizon, okay? And that was before the tsunami, okay? And let's see. And she further stated that the only place that this sun seems to rise on the earth on a daily basis is Japan. They usually call Japan the house of the rising sun. So in the sunset, okay, in the evening, there was actually a rising sun. The same kind of rising sun that rose in Japan was in Toronto. Okay, the Lord then spoke a very powerful word to me regarding the nations of the earth and the fullness of times. He revealed to us that there is a new day dawning on the horizon, and do you perceive it? Again, there is a new day dawning on the horizon, and can we perceive it? In the coming days ahead, the reign of my kingdom is going to be poured out in astronomical proportions. The reign of my kingdom is going to be poured out in astronomical proportions. It is going to be poured out unto those who many believers have felt don't even deserve to be blessed because of their opposition, the original opposition to the truth. Much revelation will be poured out to an unsuspected people, Muslims, unevangelized Jews, atheists, backsliders, pimps, prostitutes, Hindus, witches, Satanists, child molesters, the mentally insane, disabled children and adults, the elderly, the high intellectuals, corporate executives, politicians and government officials, racists, stubborn people, and the street people. As they get blessed and receive revelation of the Father's love for them, behold, the old order of the things of this world will pass away. Behold, as they receive revelation of the Father's love for them in this time, the old order of the things of this world will pass away, and the kingdom of God will be instituted throughout all the earth. The old order will be passed away, and the kingdom of God will be instituted throughout all the earth. And this is going to be over a period of time. The Lord also revealed to us, Jess, honey, did you need to say something?
I just want to say one word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. We have 18 minutes left, so I'm almost done with this. The Lord also revealed to us that he is about to take time as we know it out of a human existence and put us right into eternity or Kairos time. He will take time as we know it out of human existence and put us right into eternity or Kairos time, supernatural time just after the fullness of time, a time that we are in now. Thursday evening, September 2nd, 2004, the Lord came into time to change the course of time by stopping time altogether for 1 millisecond, okay, and he showed us the rising sun from Japan, all right? And he was showing us how he's going to stop time altogether like he did in the instituted now through the praise and worship of heaven. The Lord has sent out his righteous judgment to call the nations throughout the earth. The judgment to the world system, is his revelation of his love, the receiving of salvation to all the nations throughout the earth. That's his judgment. And the passing away of the old order of things and the institution of the kingdom of God throughout all the earth and the restoration of all things to mankind. It's not the destruction, it's not the destructive weather patterns. All these destructive weather patterns and fires and earthquakes are happening because the kingdom of God is coming to the earth, okay? And people's hearts are changing, all right? And they're receiving, the Lord is at the same time taking out the old natures, and he's putting in the new man nature, okay? And his judgment is the institution of the kingdom of God, not destruction. That's just, the destruction's happening because of the forces of evil that are reacting to God coming and invading this earth, okay? So there's nothing to fear if you're on the side of the Lord. All right. Okay. So the judgment of the world, to the world system, is his revelation of his love, the receiving of salvation to all the nations throughout the earth, and the passing away of the old order of things in the institution of the kingdom of God throughout all of the earth and the restoration of all things to mankind. You say, how can this come about? You say, how can this come about? You say, how can this come about? The Lord says that my ways are not your ways, nor are your thoughts my thoughts. The Lord says that my ways are not your ways, nor are your thoughts my thoughts. I am the one that has established the heavens. I am the one that has put all the stars and planets in their place. I am the one that has established the heavens. I am the one that has put all the stars and planets in their place. For I, the Lord, have made them by speaking them into existence. For I, the Lord, have made them by speaking them into existence. Just as I set all the affairs of the governments in motion and in order in this world system and establish the laws of physics to order the motion of all that lives and moves and has its being in the solar system and throughout the rest of this universe. I have the power and can change the course of mankind forever. Again, okay. For I, the Lord, have made them by speaking all the stars and planets into existence. Just as I have set all the affairs of the governments in motion and in order in this world system and established the laws of physics to order the motion of all that lives and moves and has its being in the solar system and throughout the rest of this universe, I, faith the Lord, have the power and can change the course of mankind forever. I, saith the Lord, have the power and can change the course of mankind forever. I not only set the course of mankind forever, I can change the order of existence forever in order to accomplish new people in the glory, new people in your love, in Jesus' name. As the old order will pass away, so your new order will come in, and we will be able to live the way that you called us to live. And we'll be able to receive the kingdom in its fullness, both now and forever, in time and in eternity.
God, amen.
Lord, let's say one now, Father.
Our Father,
who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as in heaven. Give us this day.
Our daily bread.
And forgive us our
trespasses as we forgive those against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
Now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Jeff, honey, I think when we were saying that our Father, we were skipping, so they might just get the skips. But those who understand the Our Father, you can say it and meditate on that script. You know, that's actually scripture. It's actually a prayer that comes from scripture, and it should be really a prayer that you should say every day in every circumstance or situation that you encounter, because the Our Father has built within it the ability to call down the kingdom of God to the earth, to call it out, I should say. Because the kingdom is within us. So we need to know who we are and what we're walking in. And the Our Father is a wonderful way to bring that kingdom reality to the earth, so, which is to other people. So we just thank you, Lord. We ask that you would release this in power and in glory in Jesus' holy name. Release the kingdom in power and in glory upon all my friends who are listening on Facebook and YouTube. Release your kingdom in power and glory upon them in Jesus' name. And may they never be the same again. God bless you, and we love you. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. And catch us on Faith Talks Live Prayer on Blog TV on Tuesday evenings. We've been doing every other Tuesday because of people's schedules, but hopefully in the summertime we're going to do week to week. So God bless you. Get your guitars and your dancing shoes.